Open your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the 5th chapter. John chapter 5, page 1120 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading the first 9 verses. We'll read these verses responsively. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Page 1120 in your Scofield Bible. And let's stand, please, all of us standing, for the reading of the Word of God. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem a sheep pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the waters. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And let's read the 9th together already also. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And I guess we can't appreciate it just like we ought to. We don't know just what all was involved in its preservation. How many brave people stood for it through the centuries and even died for it. But we sure are thankful that we have it, and we're thankful that we have a church that stands for your word and a preacher who defends and proclaims thy word. We pray that you bless us tonight. Once again, we open the book and help us to hear with interest and with purposefulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, What is Your Potential? That's the title. I could give it a subtitle calling How Much Can You Do? Each of us has a potential. Each of us has a limit concerning how much we can do. And I want to speak tonight on the subject, What is Your Potential? Or How Much Can You Do? I'm going to read for you without your turning to it, but I want you to listen carefully as I read it. This is the call of Jeremiah, called of God to be a prophet when he was a very young man. And it says, Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is Jeremiah talking, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God said to Jeremiah, I picked you to be a prophet. I'm calling you to be a prophet. I'm commanding you to do so. Then said I, Jeremiah, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm not a preacher. I couldn't make a talk. He said, For I am a child. Now, what he was saying was, I'm too young for this job. But the Lord said unto him, Get this now, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. God said to Jeremiah, He said, When I call you, I qualify you. And I'm commanding you to do something, and you will always be able to do that which I commanded you. So I'm commanding you to speak, and that means you can speak. I hope you listen carefully. I want to also call your attention to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now that little passage, I can do all things, doesn't mean that I can leap over tall buildings. That doesn't mean that I can swim the Atlantic Ocean. It doesn't mean I can jump off the Sears Tower and walk away. It doesn't mean that I can fly like a bird. It means this: whatever God wants me to do, I can do it through Christ. It's exactly what it means. Whatever God wants me to do, I can do it through Christ. Father, help me as I speak. I believe I have something to say tonight that's worth hearing, and I pray you'd quieten every teenager. I pray that every college student shall behave, some for the first time in a long time. I pray that you'll alert the senior citizen who's weary tonight and the laborer who's tired after a busy week's work. I pray you'd help each of us to listen attentively in the next 35 minutes or so. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 5, the story is told about an event that transpired at the Pool of Bethesda. The Bible says that at a certain season, an angel came down and troubled the waters in this pool. The first person to enter those troubled waters after the angel had done so was healed of whatever infirmity that it had. So it was a natural thing for people to gather around the Pool of Bethesda, because perhaps I can be the one to get in first after the angel troubles the waters. Jesus came to this Pool of Bethesda. Ms. Hiles and I were there on two occasions. We've seen this Pool of Bethesda. And he came to the Pool of Bethesda, and there was a man lying there, a man who had been lame for 38 years. I wonder how many times he had hoped that maybe somebody would push him in the water or carry him in the water after the waters were troubled, so he could be the one to be healed of his crippled condition. I wonder how many times he had done so. 38 years this man had been brought to the Pool of Bethesda, and Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And this man said, one of the saddest statements in the Bible, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." I wonder how many people in Chicago tonight would make that statement. "I would be saved, but I have no man to come and tell me the gospel of Christ. Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled." Listen to me now. Listen, no talking. "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." Then Jesus said something very strange to this fellow. The fellow hadn't walked for 38 years. Jesus said these words. He said, "Rise, take up thy bed." Well, first he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And then he said, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Now, if that fellow could rise and take up his bed and walk, he wouldn't have been down there in the first place. He came to the Pool of Bethesda because he could not rise and take up his bed and walk. And Jesus says, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." I can hear the fellow saying to Jesus, "Well," he said, I can't walk. "I was carried here. I've been carried here regularly for 38 years. And you said me to walk?" And you said, "Take up my bed? Good night. I can't even sit up, much less walk. And take up my bed? I can't do that." And Jesus said, "You can now." Yeah, you can now. For why? Because Jesus commanded him to. And anything that Jesus commands you to do, you can do. In Matthew chapter 9, there's a story of a man who was sick with a palsy. Jesus came to this man who was sick with a palsy, and he said to him, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house." Here's a man sick of the palsy, crippled man. And Jesus said, "Rise and take up thy bed and go to thy house." I can hear the palsy say, "I can't get up. I did sure can't pick up my bed. And I have not walked into my house in years. I cannot get up and walk. I can't pick up my bed, and I can't go to my house." Jesus said, "You can now. You can now. Because I told you to." Jesus never commands anybody to do what he does not give them the wherewithal to do it.
So that's your potential tonight.
Your potential is whatever God commands you to do.
I can't afford to tithe. Yes, you can, because God commands you to tithe. I never could be a soul winner. Yes, you can, because God commands you to be a soul winner.
I can't come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Oh, yes, you can, because God commands you not to forsake the assembly of yourself together.
Well, I can't get along with my wife.
Oh, yes, you can, because God commanded you to.
Well, I can't obey my husband.
Oh, yes, you can, because God commanded you to.
Well, I can't love my enemies.
Oh, yes, you can, because God commanded you to. In Matthew chapter 14, the disciples were in a boat. A storm came while they were in that boat. Jesus comes up in the storm, walking on the water. Peter looks at Jesus walking on the water, and he said, "If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Peter said, "Looks like fun to me. If it's really you, Jesus, bid me to come and walk on the water." Hold it, Peter. See, Jesus then said, "Come. Come." He's out on the water. Peter's in the boat. Peter said, "Let me walk on the water where you are." And Jesus said, "Come." "Hold it, Peter." "Wait a minute now, Peter. Don't be a fool. You can't walk on the water, man." "I can now. I can now." And Peter gets far too much criticism for sinking after a while. He still holds the world's record in water walking. Now, "Peter, you can't walk on the water." "I can now." "Why?" "Because Jesus commanded me to." And Jesus never commands you to do anything that you cannot do. So what is your potential? Your potential is whatever God has commanded you to do. Every commandment in this book that applies to you, you can obey, because God gives you the wherewithal to obey any commandment that He gives. And if God leads you anywhere or commands you to do something, you rest assured that you can do it. Your potential is determined by the commandments that God gives to you. Jeremiah said, "I can't speak." God said, "Before you were ever born, when you were in the belly of your mother, before you came out of the womb, I chose you to be a prophet to the nations, and you have been called by me." And Jeremiah said, "I cannot speak. I'm just a child. I can't preach." "You can now." "Oh, you can now, Jeremiah. It may be up until now you couldn't, and probably you couldn't, but Jesus commanded you to, and God commanded you to. You can now." God came to Moses. He said to Moses, "I want you to lead the Israelites." And Moses said to God, "I'm slow of speech." I do not know what his speech impediment was. He may have been thought tongue-tied. He may talk like this when he talked. I don't know. He may have been a little hair lip. I don't know. Maybe a little hair lip. Or he may have stuttered. Or he may have had a northern accent. I don't know what it was. I'm going to preach this Bible whether you like it or not. But Peter, Moses said, "No way. I can't. I'm not a speaker. I can't do it. I can't speak. I can't make a speech." Moses, you can now. God said to Moses, "I'll give you Aaron to talk for you. Show me where Aaron ever got to say anything." Moses, you couldn't speak before, but God commands you to. You can now. Sick of the palsy, you cannot rise, pick up your bed, and go to your house. You couldn't do that yesterday, but you can now, because Jesus commanded you to. 38 years with the pool of Bethesda, waiting for moving of the waters, hoping that someone will put you in there first after the waters are troubled with the angel. You couldn't walk to the pool of Bethesda, but you can walk home. Why? Because Jesus told you to. And again I say, He will never tell you to do anything that He will not give you the wherewithal and ability to do. Gideon, and you've heard me say this time and time again, he was a runt kid of the runt family, of the runt tribe, of the runt nation of the world. He was a runt. Gideon was introverted. The Bible says he was even behind the wine press threshing his wheat. He was hiding, threshing his wheat. He was so shy. And the angel of God comes up and says,
All hail thy mighty man of valor.
Here's this introverted, thumb-sucking guy. And God called him, an angel of God called him a man of valor.
And Gideon said, I can't lead the people. I'm not a leader. I'm not an extrovert.
You are now.
Because I commanded you to. I commanded you to lead the people, and you can do what I commanded you to do. I commanded you, Moses, to lead the Israelites, and you can do what I commanded you to do. I commanded you, Jeremiah, to be a prophet to the nations, and you can do what I commanded you to do. I commanded you, man, crippled man, for 38 years, the pool of Bethesda, rise, take up your bed and walk, and you can do it because I commanded you to do it. And ladies and gentlemen, whatever God tells you to do, by cracking, you can do it.
I said, New Year's Eve, 1944, about a quarter of midnight, at a watch night service, God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to be a preacher.
And I said, dear God, I can't be a preacher. I'm a little fella. I'm an introvert. There's no way I can be a preacher.
But God said, you can now. You can now.
And that's one reason why some of the least likely people in all the world do the job for God, because God wants you to know it is He and not yourself that gives you the power and the strength and the energy and the talent to do the job. You can now. You can now.
I said, New Year's Eve, 1955, when I was pastoring in Garland, Texas, the church had gotten so big, I didn't ever intend to pastor a big church. I never thought I'd have 100 people in a church. Never thought I would. And the church began to grow. I got there the first Sunday. We had 44. The first year we grew to 617, no buses. Second anniversary, we had 1180. Third anniversary, 2212. And we're averaging about 1600 to 1800 and no buses, all drive-in crowd. I got on my knees on New Year's Eve, 1955. And I said, dear God, this church is too big for me. I can't handle it. I do not know what to do next. I can't lead all these people. I surrender to be a country preacher, a little church preacher, not a big church preacher. I can't do it. I can't. But God said, I want you to pastor this church. Keep on pastoring this church. I said, I can't. But God said, you can now. For what God commands you to do, God gives you the wherewithal to do it. God said, I want you to go to Hammond, Indiana. And I said, phooey. I don't want to go to Hammond, Indiana. That's up north. That's where Yankees live. In those days, I didn't want a single Yankee to go to heaven. After being up here, I don't know if any, but anyway, I didn't want a Yankee. Now I want Yankees to go to heaven because you pay my salary and then I'm a Yankee myself. Trying to get buried right here in this area. But I didn't want to go. And God said, I want you to go to Hammond, Indiana. And I said, dear God, no way. Have you heard my accent lately? Gets on my tapes about 35 years ago. I was almost as bad as Ms. Howes is now. When I said hello on the telephone, the operator says, your 3 minutes is up. Please deposit some more money. But I was, dear God, have you heard my accent lately? Well, there's no way I could go up and build a great church up north. There's no way I could. I can't do that. God said, you can now. You can now.
But whatever I command you to do, you can do. Your potential is exactly equal with my commandments.
On the Los Angeles freeway, about 28, 29 years ago, I couldn't sleep one night. It was midnight, and I decided to get up and pray all night because I couldn't sleep. I got out of bed after midnight, walked out in the Los Angeles freeway near Pomona, California, and Claremont, California, began to walk up and down that freeway and pray.
Sometime through the night, God said to me as plainly as I've ever been impressed. I didn't hear a voice. But as plainly as I've ever heard the voice of God, silent leadership of God, God said, I want you to start a college. I had never even thought about starting a college. Never. Dr. Evans told me years before that, when I was preaching at Tennessee Temple, and he was dean of academic dean there. He said, "Dr. House, you're going to start a college someday. If you ever do, I want to help you start it. You let me know." I said, "I'm not going to start a college." Well, he said, "Yes, you are. Yes, you are." And, "No, I'm not. He said, "If you ever do, would you contact me? I'd like to work with you in your college." And I said, "Well, don't quit your daytime job, because I'm not going to start a college." But that night, in wee hours, God said to me, "I want you to start a college." I said, "Dear God, I don't know the first thing about a college. I'm not an educator. I'm an old-fashioned hell-raising preacher. I'm not an educator. I don't know a thing about starting a college. I wouldn't know how to choose a faculty. I wouldn't know how to set up the curriculum. I cannot build a college." He said, "You can now. You can now." One day I was driving up Burr Street near Crown Point, passed by the prettiest school plant I'd ever seen and campus. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, "You're going to have that someday." I said, "Fully. No way." He said, "Yes, you are." I walked in there one night, want to talk to the guy that was in charge. They called him Father, but he was dressed more like a grandmother. And I walked in his office and tried to see him. I couldn't see him for the cigarette smoke. And I said, "Sir, I want to buy you college." And he said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm Jack Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church, Hammond." He said, "Our college is not for sale. We have about 40 students. It's not for sale." But he said, "If it ever is for sale, I'll guarantee you one thing, Mr. Hiles, the Baptists will be the last folks we'll ever sell it to." I said, "You're right. The Baptist folks will be the last folks you ever sell it to." I walked around that campus and prayed for that campus, and then I found out they wanted $3.5 million for it. And I said, "Dear Lord, forget it. $3.5 million, finally got it for $2.5 million plus $300,000 rental for 18 months. And, so we finally paid total $2.8 million. But $3.5 million, I said, "Dear God, there's no way in the world. We haven't got that kind of money. I can't pay $3.5 million for that college." He said, "You can now. You can now." You said, "Brother Hiles, how far can I go in the ministry as far as God tells you to go? Brother Hiles, what can I do with my life? Whatever God says to do." Here, now you haven't got a single talent. God will give you the talent after he commands you to have the talent or to do something that requires the talent. You can now. That's your potential. That's what you can do for God. You can do exactly whatever God told you to do. And I'll say it again. Anything that God commanded you in that book to do, you can do also. Well, Brother Hiles, I tell you what, I can love those that love me, but I can't love those that hate me. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can, because God commanded you to. When God commands you to, God gives you the wherewithal to obey his commandment. For example, God commands all men everywhere to repent, and the Bible says repentance is a gift of God. God commands you to put your faith in Christ, and the Bible says that faith is a gift of God. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it, that is the faith, is the gift of God. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall be saved by his faith. That means God commands you to repent. He gives you repentance. He commands you to put your faith in Christ. He gives you faith. And from that moment that you put the faith in Christ that he gives you to place in him, there's not one single thing that God will ever tell you to do, leads you to do, or has commanded you in this book to do that you cannot do. Last March, at Mayo Clinic, when I found that I had this heart condition, and the same day I found out that our little grandson had been tragically killed, I had a long talk with God. I said, "Dear God, with a heart condition, I'm 72 years of age. Our work's too big for an old man." People every once in a while say to me, "Well, Dr. Robertson is 90, he's still preaching, but he quit pastoring before he was my age." And I said, dear God, the thing's too big. I'm not well now. I have a heart condition and I'm an old man. I came back home. I drove around this property. All of these buildings we own here. I drove to 700 Sibley down here where our City Baptist School is and realized the responsibility of keeping that thing going. Then I drove out to Baptist City, where our great Hammond Baptist Grade School, Junior High and High School are all located. And those many buildings out there on that 28 acres. And all of that was my responsibility to oversee and be sure it keeps going. I drove to Memory Lane Cemetery and the beautiful mausoleum there and realized that I'm responsible. The buck stops at my desk concerning that also. I drove to Howells Anderson College and saw that massive campus out there. It ever dawned on you if all the buildings here and the building down here and the building out here on Holman Avenue and the buildings at Baptist City and the buildings at Howells Anderson College are on one campus, it'd make the University of Indiana look like an outhouse. Probably is anyway. So I went out there. I went out to college campus and saw those buildings and realized the tremendous responsibility that's mine. So the buck stops at my desk concerning the college. I drove to City Baptist on Holman Avenue. I counted that day, if I remember correctly, 61 buildings that we own. Just try keeping the roofs on all those buildings. Just try keeping all from leaking for a while. You'd be amazed if you knew how many telephones we have in all of our ministries. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of telephones. All of our utility bills are $1 million a year. I realize we own over 150 acres. There's 77 buildings that we have bought or built. Many of those we have torn down, all but one on purpose. Be glad if you listen for a while. 30,000 meals a week I've got to raise the money for. $567 employees. $45,000 a day. Not a week, a day. $45,000 a day has got to come in to keep all this massive work going. And I said, dear God, it's time to step aside. And God said, I don't want you to step aside. I want you to stay. And I said, at 72, I can't. He said, you can now. You can now. You can now. It's not hard for me to worry about the future of this church and who takes my place. I wonder who it's going to be. I've got the foggiest idea. I know who it's not. How you doing, Doc? You be around me when my mantle falls. You catch it. Then, you know what? You deserve to run all this thing here, you know? And I was talking to God not long ago. And I said, who can take my place? And God said, I'll have a man. And I said, he can't handle all this. And God said, he can then. He can then. On a trip to Niagara Falls with some preachers that won a pastor school contest, Mrs. Howells and I led a trip to Niagara Falls. I think you were there, Brother Ray. And several pastors around the country had won a contest. We had a wonderful time Monday night, a wonderful time Tuesday morning, and a great time Tuesday afternoon. And just about 5 minutes before Tuesday night, we left to go on a little dinner cruise with the people. Ms. McKinney called, or I called her one, and she said, Brother Howells, there's a lawsuit. $1 million lawsuit against you and the church. I'll be honest with you. I thought we were through with all that kind of stuff. I thought maybe the battles were all over and maybe I could, in the senior years of my life, enjoy a little tranquility and peace. This house and I were very quiet that night. It was obvious to all who were there that something was wrong. We sat alone and just cried and talked and hurt a while. And that night, I went to the washroom in our little room, and I said, "Dear God, I can't take any more." He said, "You can now. You can now. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above than you're able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." I'm saying if God puts the burden on you, you can carry the load. And whatever load God places on you, you can carry the load. God never gives you a load you cannot carry. He never gives you a command you cannot obey. He never gives you a call he does not qualify you to do. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, you can now. You can now. You can now. If God has commanded you to do it, if God's called you to preach, bless God, you can do it. If God's called you to go to the mission field, bless God, you can go. If God has placed a burden, a heartache, or a heartbreak upon you, bless God, you can bear it because God never gives you a command that you cannot obey. And that's your potential tonight. That's your potential. And that's how much you can take. And that's how much you can do. Whatever God commands you in this book, or leads you by His Spirit, or commands you by impulse or by sweet Holy Spirit assurance, whatever God commands, that's your potential. I can't take up my bed and walk. You can now. I can't take up my bed and go back to my house. You can now. But I'm just a child. I can't be a prophet to the nations. You can now. But Peter, you can't walk on water. But you can now. Moses, you say you could never make a speech. You flunked speech and public speaking both. You say you couldn't preach a sermon? You can now. Gideon, you say you're too shy to be a leader of Israel? You can't be a great leader? You can now. You can now. For whatever God commands you to do, you can do it. Would you bow your heads, please?